Chapter 77, The Awakening, Segment 1. After the song of the Wanderer and Shadow, the cave became all at once full of noise and laughter. And since the assembled guests all spoke simultaneously, and even the ass, encouraged thereby, no longer remained silent, a little aversion and scorn for his visitors came over Zarathustra, although he rejoiced at their gladness, for it seemed to him a sign of convalescence. So he slipped out into the open air and spoke to his animals. "Where has their distress now gone?" said he, and already did he himself feel relieved of his petty disgust. "With me, it seems that they have unlearned their cries of distress, though alas, not yet their crying." And Zarathustra stopped his ears, for just then did the yea of the ass mix strangely with the noisy jubilation of those higher men. "They are merry," he began again, "and who knows, perhaps at their host's expense. And if they have learned of me to laugh, still it is not my laughter they have learned. But what matter about that? They are old people. They recover in their own way. They laugh in their own way. My ears have already endured worse and have not become peevish. This day is a victory. He already yields. He flees the spirit of gravity, mine old archenemy. How well this day is about to end, which began so badly and gloomily, and it is about to end. Already comes the evening. Over the sea rides it here, the good rider. How it bobs, the blessed one, the home-returning one, in its purple saddles. The sky gazes brightly thereon. The world lies deep. Oh, all you strange ones who have come to me, it is already worthwhile to have lived with me." Thus spoke Zarathustra. And again came the cries and laughter of the higher men out of the cave. Then began he anew. "They bite at me, my bait takes. There departs also from them their enemy, the spirit of gravity. Now do they learn to laugh at themselves. Do I hear rightly? My virile food takes effect, my strong and savory sayings. And verily, I did not nourish them with flatulent vegetables, but with warrior food, with conqueror food. New desires did I awaken. New hopes are in their arms and legs. Their hearts expand. They find new words. Soon will their spirits breathe wantonness. Such food may sure enough not be proper for children, nor even for longing girls old and young. One persuades their bowels otherwise. I am not their physician and teacher. The disgust departs from these higher men. Well, that is my victory. In my domain, they become assured. All stupid shame flees away. They empty themselves. They empty their hearts. Good times return to them. They keep holiday and ruminate. They become thankful. That do I take as the best sign. They become thankful. Not long will it be ere they devise festivals and put up memorials to their old joys. They are convalescents. Thus spoke Zarathustra joyfully to his heart and gazed outward. His animals, however, pressed up to him and honored his happiness and his silence. Segment 2. All of a sudden, however, Zarathustra's ear was frightened, for the cave, which had hitherto been full of noise and laughter, became all at once still as death. His nose, however, smelt a sweet-scented vapor, an incense odor, as if it were burning pine cones. "What happens? What are they about?" he asked himself, and stole up to the entrance, that he might be able, unobserved, to see his guests. But wonder upon wonder, what was he then obliged to behold with his own eyes? They have all of them become pious again. They pray. They are mad, said he, and was astonished beyond measure. And forsooth, all these higher men, the two kings, the pope out of service, the evil magician, the voluntary beggar, the wanderer in shadow, the old soothsayer, the spiritually conscientious one, and the ugliest man, they all lay on their knees like children and credulous old women and worship the ass. Just then began the ugliest man to gurgle and snort as if something unutterable in him tried to find expression. When, however, he had actually found words, behold, it was a pious, strange litany in praise of the adored and sensed ass. And the litany sounded thus: Amen, and glory and honor and wisdom and thanks and praise and strength be to our God from everlasting to everlasting. The ass, however, here brayed yea. He carries our burdens. He has taken upon him the form of a servant. He is patient of heart and never says nay, and he who loves his God chastises him. The ass, however, here brayed yea. He speaks not, except that he ever says yea to the world which he created. Thus does he extol his world. It is his artfulness that speaks not. Thus he is rarely found wrong. The ass, however, here brayed yea. Uncomely goes he through the world. Gray is the favorite color in which he wraps his virtue. Has he spirit, then does he conceal it. Everyone, however, believes in his long ears. The ass, however, here brayed yea. What hidden wisdom it is to wear long ears and only to say yea and never nay. Has he not created the world in his own image, namely, as stupid as possible? The ass, however, here brayed yea. You go straight and crooked ways. It concerns you little what seems straight or crooked to us men. Beyond good and evil is your domain. It is your innocence not to know what innocence is. The ass, however, here brayed yea. Lo, how you spurn none from you, neither beggars nor kings. You suffer little children to come to you, and when the bad boys decoy you, then say you simply yea. The ass, however, here brayed yea. You love she-asses and fresh figs. You are no food despiser. A thistle tickles your heart when you chance to be hungry. There is wisdom of a god therein. The ass, however, here brayed yea. Chapter 78, The Ass Festival. Segment 1. At this place in the litany, however, Zarathustra could no longer control himself. He himself cried out yea louder even than the ass, and sprang into the midst of his maddened guests. Whatever are you about, you grown-up children, he exclaimed, pulling up the praying ones from the ground. Alas, if anyone else except Zarathustra had seen you, everyone would think you the worst blasphemers or the very foolishest old women with your new belief. And you yourself, you old pope, how is it in accordance with you to adorn an ass in such a manner as God? O Zarathustra, answered the pope, forgive me, but in divine matters I am more enlightened even than you, and it is right that it should be so. Better to adore God so, in this form, than in no form at all. Think over this saying, mine exalted friend. You will readily divine that in such a saying there is wisdom. He who said, God is a spirit, made the greatest stride and slide hitherto made on earth towards unbelief. Such a dictum is not easily amended again on earth. Mine old heart leaps and bounds because there is still something to adore on earth. Forgive it, O Zarathustra, to an old pious pontiff heart. And you, said Zarathustra to the wanderer and shadow, you call and think yourself a free spirit, and here you practice such idolatry and hierolatry. Worse verily do you here than with your bad brown girls, you bad new believer. It is sad enough, answered the wanderer in shadow. You were right. But how can I help it? The old god lives again, O Zarathustra. You may say what you will. The ugliest man is to blame for it all. He has awakened him. And if he say that he once killed him, with God's death is always just a prejudice. And you, said Zarathustra, you bad old magician, what did you do? Who ought to believe any longer in you in this free age when you believe in such divine donkeyism? It was a stupid thing that you did. How could you, a shrewd man, do such a stupid thing? O Zarathustra, answered the shrewd magician, you are right, It was a stupid thing. It was also repugnant to me. And you even, said Zarathustra, to the spiritually conscientious one, consider and put your finger to your nose. Does nothing go against your conscience here? Is your spirit not too cleanly for this praying and the fumes of those devotees? There is something therein, said the spiritually conscientious one, and put his finger to his nose. There is something in this spectacle which even does good to my conscience. Perhaps I dare not believe in God. Certain it is, however, that God seems to me most worthy of belief in this form. God is said to be eternal according to the testimony of the most pious. He who has so much time takes his time, as slow and as stupid as possible. Thereby can such a one nevertheless go very far. And he who has too much spirit might well become infatuated with stupidity and folly. Think of yourself, O Zarathustra. You yourself verily, even you could well become an ass through superabundance of wisdom. Does not the true sage willingly walk on the crookedest paths? The evidence teaches it, O Zarathustra, your own evidence. And you yourself finally, said Zarathustra, and turned towards the ugliest man, who still lay on the ground, stretching up his arms to the ass, for he gave it wine to drink. Say, you nondescript, what have you been about? You seem to me transformed. Your eyes glow. The mantle of the sublime covers your ugliness. What did you do? Is it then true what they say, that you have again awakened him? And why? Was he not for good reasons killed and made away with? You yourself seems to me awakened. What did you do? Why did you turn around? Why did you get converted? Speak, you nondescript. O Zarathustra, answered the ugliest man, you are a rogue. Whether he yet lives, or again lives, or is thoroughly dead, which of us both knows that best, I ask you. One thing, however, do I know. From yourself did I learn at once, O Zarathustra. He who wants to kill most thoroughly laughs. Not by wrath, but by laughter does one kill. Thus spoke you once, O Zarathustra, you hidden one, you destroyer without wrath, you dangerous saint, you are a rogue. Segment 2. Then, however, did it come to pass that Zarathustra, astonished at such merely roguish answers, jumped back to the door of his cave, and turning toward all his guests, cried out with a strong voice, O you wags, all of you, you buffoons! Why do you disassemble and disguise yourselves before me? How the hearts of all of you convulsed with delight and wickedness, because you had at last become again like little children, namely pious. Because you at last did again as children do, namely prayed, folded your hands, and said, Good God! But now I leave, I pray you, this nursery, mine own cave, for today all childishness is carried on. Cool down here outside your hot child wantonness and heart tumult. To be sure, except you become as little children, you shall not enter into that kingdom of heaven. And Zarathustra pointed aloft with his hands. But we do not at all want to enter into a kingdom of heaven. We have become men, so we want the kingdom of earth. Segment 3. And once more began Zarathustra to speak. O my new friend, said he, you strange ones, you higher men, how well do you now please me, since you have again become joyful? You have verily all blossomed forth. It seems to me that for such flowers as you, new festivals are required. A little valiant nonsense, some divine service and ass festival, some old joyful Zarathustra fool, some bluster to blow your souls bright. Forget not this night and this ass festival, you higher men. That did you devise when with me. That do I take as a good omen. Such things only the convalescents devise. And should you celebrate it again, this ass festival, do it from love to yourself. Do it also from love to me, and in remembrance of me. Thus spoke Zarathustra.